Humility. How many people need more humility? Don't point at anyone, just raise. That wasn't the intent of the question. There's a Sunday school teacher teaching about the tax collector and the Pharisee, you know, the Pharisee who says, "Thank you, Lord, I'm not like the tax collector." You remember that story? Sunday school tells the story to the kids and then say, "Children, let's bow our heads and thank God that we're not like the Pharisee." Paul writes about Jesus in Philippians chapter 2. He writes this: "Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." The humiliation of Christ. Humility. What is humility or humbleness or being humble? I'm going to give you a chance to throw out your ideas before I confound you with my own. What's humility? Just call them out. I'm not going to say yes or no. Okay, anyone else want to? Okay. Anyone else?
Not proud, not considering your importance.
Okay, what else?
Not looking for glory for yourself, but for your work. You know, knowing your work, but not thinking.
Okay, what else? Well, let me tell you what it isn't first. It's always good to define something by what it isn't. Humility, first of all, is not denying your giftedness. You all have skills and talents and gifts. It's not denying them. It's not saying, "Oh, I don't have them." It's not being negative about those things. It has nothing to do with denying what is true. Humility is not denying your gifts, but using your gifts for others rather than self. Rather than to impress others. Pride wants to impress others, or as Kelsey was saying, to, you know, glorify yourself. That's what pride does. Pride wants to use your gifts to impress other people. Humility isn't interested in that. Humility, rather than to impress others, seeks to serve others. Peter Kreef said this: "Humility is thinking less about yourself, not thinking less of yourself." To have less time spent considering yourself positively or negatively. Humility is also not being negative about yourself. It's not denying your giftedness, but it's not being negative about yourself. Someone who constantly belittles himself, either inwardly or outwardly, is still doing it out of pride. The person is still drawing attention to themselves, or they're still thinking about themselves more than they should be. The cure for this is understanding how God really thinks about you. Some people touched on that in their definitions, a true view of who you are. How does God understand you to truly be? And I think the important thing to understand in the aspect of humility is to understand that you are forgiven and you have a part in God's plan. How God sees you, dealing with the negative things you may have about yourself, they're forgiven. And about your giftedness, God has a part for those to play. Really, that solves both of those. Now I want to talk about humility and relationships, because most of the time humility has to do with something in relationship with other people. You're not too worried about being humble around inanimate objects. It's usually around other people. Humility doesn't exist in a vacuum. Remember what I told you about this time last year? All theology is
relational.
That's right. All theology is about relationships. All theology is relational. So when we talk about humility, certainly it has to do with relationships. So the first thing to do when you're looking at humility and relationships is this. Identify where you lack humility in relationship. Identify where you have the problem. How do you do that? Here's a question you can ask yourself. Does it bother you when others do well? When somebody else does well or is complimented on something or is cheered for doing something, does that bother you? And if so, there's a place where you can begin work. Life is not a competition. This is a hard thing for us to grasp, because all through life, we face competitions with other people. Life is not a competition. The world thinks it is. He who dies with the most toys wins. Sounds like a competition, doesn't it? Competition, or looking at life as though it's a competition, leads you to frustration and jealousy and anger and conflict and rejection. That's what happens if you view life as a competition. And the funny thing is, it doesn't matter if you are the winner of the competition or the loser, the relationship still suffers if you go into life thinking it's a competition against other people. Christians are not supposed to see life as a competition. Christians see life as helping one another, sacrificial love for the benefit of another. You can't sacrifice yourself and win the competition from the world's perspective. And yet Jesus said that's exactly how you win. He said it's not about being first, but it's all about being last. It's kind of funny, because we want to be first. We want to win the competition. We want to be the greatest. We want to be the richest. We want to win the competition. And Jesus says it's all about being last in His kingdom. See, in His kingdom, it's different than in the kingdoms of the earth. It's interesting where Jesus says this about being last and not first. He says it in the context of God being gracious to the undeserving. It's the parable, the story of the person that you never met. The boss who hires people, and whether they work 1 hour or 12, he pays them the same amount of money. You will never meet a man like that in your life. And that is what God's like. He's gracious to the undeserving. If you want to be like the Father, you have to be gracious with the undeserving. The other question to ask yourself in dealing with humility and relationships is this one. Do you find yourself in broken relationships? Is that the norm of your life? If the norm of your life is broken relationships, you have identified an area where humility is lacking. Humility preserves relationships while pride destroys them. Whatever you do in word or in deed, it either helps or hinders relationships. If your relationships are not where you want them to be, most likely pride is involved. If the problem is pride, then what is the solution? Humility. That's right. So how do I become humble? In other words, I got the disease. Give me the cure. What is humility? Humility is surrender of your will to the will of the Father. I mean, that is the starting place to understanding what humility is. It's like a child being trained by a parent. They must conform to the will of the parent. It's crucial. The humility that a child has to have is a humility of being trained, being shaped and molded. And it's no different between you and your Heavenly Father. Becoming a living sacrifice, as we looked at in the book of Romans chapter 12, is the essence of submitting to the will of the Father. It's his desire that you must shape to. In the garden, just before the cross, what does Jesus pray? Father? No, in the garden. No, he says what? Not my will, but your will be done. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And the humbling, the humiliation that he does is submitting to the will of the Father. Without that same attitude, you will fight against God and you will judge his actions. Humility comes also from having a right knowledge. That was mentioned before. A knowledge of three things that are very important here: of yourself, and of God, and of other people, and I guess also life in general. In John chapter 13, the time is the Last Supper. Jesus meets with his disciples and he washes their feet. This is what it says: Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, knowing that he is going to be triumphant over all things, and that he had come from God, he is the Messiah, he is the Christ, and he was going back to God, he rose from supper, he laid aside his outer garment, he took a towel, tied it around his waist, and washed his disciples' feet. That's what he did, knowing who he was, where he came from, and where he was going. He humbles himself and serves those around him. That is what his kingdom looks like. Ignorance interferes with our being humble. Ignorance does. Jesus did these things because he knew who he was. He knew his place. When you're ignorant of things, it leads you to judge others and situations when you don't know all the facts. How often has that happened in your life? That you have judged a situation or a person, and then later on, you find out it wasn't exactly as you had imagined. And then we have a saying for that: you had to swallow your pride. It's a lot harder to judge others when you understand their situation more fully, isn't it? Humility is also being merciful rather than judgmental. In humility, everything comes down to mercy and judgment. This is kind of the crux of the matter that I'm trying to get across to you this morning. In humility, everything comes down to mercy and judgment. Judgment, first of all, of self by God. How does God see you? How does he judge you? How has God judged you? How has he judged you? Nobody knows. How did he judge you? With mercy and grace. And see, if you get that, you will understand who you are before God. And that leads to the second one, the judgment of self by self. That's the person who looks at himself and is always negative toward himself. Or he always feels that God's condemning him. Or whatever it is. If you understand the first one, God's judgment of you is what? It's mercy. How can you be harder on yourself than God is? And the third one is the judgment of others by yourself. If you have received mercy, how are you to deal with other people? Yes, with mercy. Remember what we talked about last week? In God's kingdom, the law is love, and the judgment is mercy. His kingdom is so different than anything we can relate to in this world. Mercy triumphs over judgment. God is merciful to us, and we acknowledge that mercy in dealing with ourselves, and we extend that mercy to others. The last thing here is humility leaves the judgment of all things to God. We know that that's what we're supposed to do. Pride judges others. That's what pride does. Pride is all about judging. Pride also judges self. And when we judge others or self in a harsh manner, problems develop. It's so easy to judge the words and actions of others based upon our own experiences and expectations. That's when we get into problems, because we're ignorant of all the facts. Our pride reads more into things sometimes, and usually in order to lower other people so that we may raise ourselves. In Rome one day, Henrik Ibsen, the playwright, noticed a crowd of people gathering around a poster to see what it was about. Intrigued, he reached for his spectacles, and he found he had left them in his hotel room. "Signor," he says to the man beside him, "would you please tell me what the poster says?" And the man said, "I've forgotten my glasses." The man leaned over to him and whispered, "I don't know how to read either." We judge other people. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 7. "Judge not, that you will not be judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that's in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when there's a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." It's very important to see what Jesus is talking about here. He's not saying that we never evaluate other people. We look at their lives. But when we look at somebody else's life, when we evaluate it, why do we do that? Well, why should we do it? In order to help them. To help them. The issue is whether we judge them and condemn them or love them and help them. We can be merciful or judging. And Jesus says, whichever one we are, that is how we will be treated. That whole chapter is about mercy and judgment, Matthew 7. So there's some important lessons here about humility and what it is. Humility, it comes from our receiving God's mercy. That's the very first place of it. That is, we understand God's judgment of us. His judgment of us is mercy. That's the source of our humility. Humility is extending that mercy to other people, because we don't have all the facts to make a valid judgment on them. Furthermore, if we wish to receive mercy, we must be merciful. This protects us from pride even when we don't know all the facts. The third thing is, humility comes from serving others, not competing against them. This removes focus from self and puts focus on the needs of other people. Humility is an issue of judging. That's what humility is all about. Humility is being merciful to other people and not judging them. When you have problems in relationships with other people, it's your pride judging them rather than humility being merciful to them. Why do you think Jesus spends so much time talking about being merciful to other people? Because we've received so much mercy in his death. In his death, you received tremendous mercy. And he wants you to go and be merciful to other people. Humility recognizes that you can, that you have received mercy and you're supposed to extend it to other people. Humble people are merciful people. If you want to be humble, you need to be merciful. You'll find out that it's the same thing. That a person who is merciful and not judging, not judgmental, is a person who's humble. He knows where he's been and he knows where he's going. And it all has to do with his relationship with God. The person who is judgmental has problems in relationships and appears to others to be a very proud person, which he is, because he because he doesn't recognize the mercy of God, and he doesn't extend it to other people. We submit ourselves to the will of Father, to the will of the Father. I said that was the beginning. We judge other people, but we also have a problem with judging God. And that is a big problem. Because when we judge God, we're not humble before Him. We're accusing Him of doing something wrong. We don't like what He's done, and we judge His actions. You can never be humble before God without accepting His will and surrendering to it. Now, do you believe me? Humility and judgment are so intertwined as to almost be the same thing. Mercy is what a humble person is all about. The judgmental person is the person who's proud. If you want, you can go into the Old Testament and look at people like Moses, who's told to be a very humble person. How did he relate to the people of Israel every time God said he was about to strike them dead? Please don't do it. He was a merciful person. He was a humble person. Let's pray. Lord, we know that you are merciful, because that was the essence of the whole plan of the cross, to provide mercy. Lord, help us to submit to your will, which means we accept what you do and do not judge you, and help us to be merciful to others and to treat them in the same way we received a judgment from you, one of mercy. Help us to become humble people, merciful people, in our families, in our friendships and relationships. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.